this meeting to order on August 13th at 1:30. Do we have a quorum?
We do.
Next on the agenda is the minutes from the June 24th meeting. Any discussion on that? If not, could I have a motion, please?
Motion to approve, Adamson.
Second?
Second, Mary.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? No nays. Staff reports? Curtis?
All right, attachment 3A is the financial progress report. This is through the fiscal year end, from July 1st to June 30th. Expended 78% of the budget, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Moving on to technical progress report. Curtis?
All right, thank you again. Big news is that the Senate passed a bipartisan infrastructure bill earlier this week, $1.2 trillion. There's been a lot of articles celebrating it already, but it has not actually been approved and signed by the president. It now goes to the House, where they are already announcing that they are going to sit on the bill for the next month while they try to negotiate a $3.5 trillion other infrastructure type program, for lack of a better phrase. You know, we're excited about the bill as is with $1.1 trillion. I think that's probably the floor. The reality is that if the House does try to make any changes at all, it'll kick it into conference, and then there will have to be votes at both the Senate and the House level, which does kind of put the bill in an interesting spot. We'll see if that hard line holds on the bipartisan bill, but at this point, that's how what it appears to be, or where we appear to be at with it. So definitely positive. I think any time either branch passes highway legislation, that's a good thing. Again, though, you know, I know ignoring the recommendations from our committee as well as many others, there's no increase to the gas tax. I did read something that there is a VMT type, sounds like pilot, of potentially tracking mileage to help, especially with hybrids and electronic vehicles as part of that bill. However, we're still not really clear on what that would do to our, I mean, not that part of it, but we're not clear what our allocations would look like in a $1.1 trillion bill. So right now, we can't tell you if that means AMATS will get, you know, $2 million more a year, $4 million more a year, $8 million more a year. But we are excited about it and are hopeful that by the time we get to the new federal fiscal year, which starts in October, that we will have a new transportation bill. Otherwise, just internally, talking to our chair and vice chair, we are thinking that at the September meeting, we will require masks in this meeting if things continue to go this way they are. Just thought I'd give you a heads up on that. As I know, all of our staffs are and the cities are grappling kind of with the next phase of the pandemic. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, I have a question on these masks. Now, look, we get word from the CDC that if people have been vaccinated, that they're 99.5% immune from COVID-19, and that the that there are no deaths as a result. If they do get COVID-19, there are no deaths. In fact, there's very few hospitalizations, 6,500 in the entire country of 300 million people. What are these masks for? It doesn't make any sense.
Can I answer that question?
Sure, Mr. Paradise.
I have had my vaccinations. I'm fully vaccinated. 2 Moderna shots. Today I had my 5th round of chemo. So my mask is protecting me from you and you from me. I am immunized, compromised. I didn't ask for cancer. I got it. So I appreciate people wearing masks.
Well,
if there's a scary thing on my side of the fence, Mr. Mayor.
There are people that are compromised, yes, I can understand this, but healthy people, I see no reason.
But you don't know when you're near a compromised person. I don't wear a shirt that says compromised.
Moving on.
anyone else have anything to add to that? Like you said, we will be wearing masks next month. We're in attendance.
That's a big yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the federal funds report, attachment 3C, David Poulet.
Thank you. First of all, before I start, I'd like to thank everyone who submitted CNAP applications at the end of July. We are in the process of evaluating those now because we have to prove that it improves air quality and congestion. These applications sometimes take a little bit longer to work through than our other ones. So thanks to all of you who submitted those. A couple other things. The TAP TIP subcommittee met twice in July, and the reason for those meetings was to make some small changes to our funding policy guidelines. I'm not going to get into those. Actually, I'll describe those changes later in the meeting, but the big thing is we have a program now where your match can be reduced from 20% to 10%, but I'll explain that more later. And because we're doing some funding policy changes, I wanted to let you know that the applications, STBG and resurfacing and TASA applications will be due at the end of October. Originally, I think I said the end of August, but we want to give everyone time to review these changes, and then we'll officially approve them next month at our September meetings. So other than that, one last thing, I would like to thank all of you who submitted resurfacing applications for our special round of resurfacing. We had a good a number of applications, and because of that, we were able to supplement the 22 STBG funding and the 23 and 24 funding. So our balances do look healthy now, and we're in no danger of losing any funds due to large balances. One last thing, at the bottom of attachment 3C is a little cheat sheet in case you need it. It just explains the three programs that we're going to accept applications for, and the phases that are eligible, and the maximum funding that we will allow for each program. So other than that, that's all I have. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Applications, October 31st, is that the deadline?
Actually, I think it'll be Friday the 29th,
okay.
October 29th.
Any other questions? Moving on to old business, any old business?
No.
Moving on to new business, and funding policy guidelines, discussion only on attachment 5A.
Hey, thank you. This is where I actually want to describe the changes that we're proposing in a little more detail. As I said, the TAC TIP subcommittee did meet twice to discuss these changes. The first change that we're excited about is called the Project Delivery Incentive Program, or PDIP. This is a program that we put together to incentivize you to get your projects ready by a certain time. One thing that we're trying to avoid is we do not want to let our balances creep back up like what happened in 22. So with this program, we will reduce the local share to 10%, and then we'll pick up that extra cost with what's called toll revenue credits. And it's one of those funds that's out there and we're able to use, but we just haven't tapped into it too much for something like this. So for resurfacing projects, the requirement is to have your project ready in 2 years. And for other STBG projects, the requirement is to have your project ready in 4 years. And we think that this is going to be really helpful, especially with resurfacing projects. And I would like to mention, though, the maximum amount that will kick in will be $100,000. So it does kind of max out at $100,000. But that would still help a lot with the smaller resurfacing projects. The next thing that we discussed is revising the number of projects that each sponsor can receive. Currently, it's at 3 projects per funding category, and we decided to change that to 2 in order to have a more equitable program, so perhaps more sponsors can receive projects. The next thing is to add language about ODOT LET and local LET projects. We just want to add a paragraph in our funding policy about the two different methods of administering a project. There's been some confusion about exactly how that's done and the requirements necessary if you do want to be a local LET sponsor. So we're going to just add a little bit of language about that. The next few changes apply to the STBG program. We want to award points for landslide issues. We had some feedback, mostly from the county, about some projects where there's also landslide issues, and we will consider those when we score the projects. We did have the we used to just say road closed 20 points, and we will, or a bridge closed 20 points. We'll change that to road closed and or bridge closed / road closed for 20 points. And that road closed could be for a landslide or really for any other reason. And then we'll also give 15 points if there's a landslide endangering a road. But it has to be documented, it has to be proven. Also, we want to better define our complete streets scoring. We have a section on our STBG application where you get points if you have a transit component or a bike or pedestrians component. It was never really too well defined, and we just want to define those type of improvements and the corresponding points a little better. We want to change level of service to percent free flow speed. Level of service is really no longer being used by us to evaluate congestion. We were kind of under the direction of the feds to use free flow speed, which is derived from the monitoring of GPS devices, and it's a rather complicated process, but that's the method we use now. So we'll just we'll add 10 points if you have a recommended capacity improvement in our latest 2020 CMP. The next one is for resurfacing program revisions. We just want to raise the number of points for ABT a little bit. Previously, we had a maximum of 10 points for 10,000 ADT, and we want to raise that to 15 points for 15,000 ADT. And if it's less than 15,000, it's just the ADT divided by 1,000. And lastly, I want to just quickly review the amount of money that we plan on distributing. The total amount of money during this funding cycle we estimate to be around $30 million. That includes some over-programming. We kind of want to divide it up equally between the regular STBG program and resurfacing, and then that leaves about $2 million for TASA projects. The funding policy guidelines are attached for your use if you want to review anything. Once again, we're not planning to approve this today. We just wanted to review this with you. We're going to let you take it with you. You can read over it. And if you have any questions, please feel free to call myself or Curtis. If you have any questions now, I'd be glad to take them. Yes, Joe.
As everybody, as most people know, I'm opposed to the limit of two projects per funding. It's capricious, arbitrary, worse than that, it's discriminatory. With that, I'd like to ask AMETS to check their legal counsel and see if they want to defend discrimination suit based on eliminating townships from the project, and check with ODOT's Office of Access and Equity because it violates Title VI of the federal codes. AMETS actually provides the evidence that violates Title VI in our distribution of funding. I know Mr. Brubaker, I thought if the county executive would really want to defend the suit, that we're on the wrong side of discrimination on. So please check with your legal counsel and send a copy of it. Now, this may take some time to get an answer, but the decision to cut from 3 to 2 to whatever number doesn't occur until December, when you get all the scoring in and you start to draw the red lines. So we got plenty of time to do it.
I mean, we would be happy to, but I'm not sure I follow your logic. And I mean, we'd be happy to discuss that offline.
Like I said, send it down to the office.
Is this from your legal counsel, Jim?
No.
Okay, so this is your interpretation of Title VI.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's a little
discrimination
bit...
Discrimination is discrimination, and you really don't like it in that area. By eliminating the opportunity for 7 or 8 of our townships to even receive improvement monies for their main streets.
They all have the opportunity. There's no elimination. Just because you can't apply for
as
each township to have money.
As soon as you give money to Copley or Bath, the other 7 townships are eliminated.
Until the next round of funding. I mean, every time a community gets discriminated against because we only have so much money. So every time, in your argument, a community is discriminated against because they don't receive funding. I don't understand
the
legal concept.
They don't have the opportunity to receive
funding. They do. You get to choose which one of them gets funding.
No, I don't
get
to choose.
You do.
We set up a set of rules saying that the amount of traffic, the condition of payment, dictates what we're going to get. If my third project scores higher than some other community's project, my guys can't get the job, can't get the money. And that's their main
choice. That's how scoring works. I mean, that's the whole point.
I agree
with
that.
So you're saying our entire program is discriminatory.
I'm just
saying. I think you're throwing around pretty interesting terms.
Cut it off arbitrarily, 2 projects. That's when you start getting the discrimination.
We can discuss, but I think I would like to see something from your legal counsel explaining that it's discriminatory.
You really want to get is a statement from a civil rights attorney who would file suit on behalf of not the townships. You'll have Township Association and the Farm Bureau because that was their main roads into town.
But that's every community has those issues. I mean, there's one ward in Akron could sue the other wards in Akron if they don't get a project.
Yes. But they have people sitting at the table.
You are the person sitting at the table.
But I am not arguing for other Summit County townships. Your comparison would be if I was Ward 1 chairman in Akron, I'd be arguing as Ward 2 chairman. No, it's me arguing against the other 22 communities in Akron, in Summit County alone, plus whatever's in Akron. Wayne and Medina and Portage.
Well,
policy past the offices and see what
I mean. I think, but basically, what it sounds like. So, if we go back to a period, the only way we're not discriminatory is that Summit County gets 7 jobs because they score highest on everything else. Except, and there's no project limit. That's the only way that we're not discriminatory, and your legal
if
opinion.
If we've got it set up to ADT as a controlling factor, pavement conditions as a controlling factor, and I'm not sure what the third factor was we had there, equitable distribution.
I don't think allowing a member to apply for a certain number of projects would be considered discriminatory, personally. I don't see how that would work when if every community could apply for 7 projects, but they only get 2, then we're discriminating when you get
they
2 projects.
They have the opportunity to compete for all the projects, even though the last one.
But so do you. And you
no, I get cut
you
off.
Represent,
when I get my 2 projects in, I'm cut off.
You represent all, you get to choose which projects you apply for to us or the townships that you represent.
When I apply for a project in each township and it scores better than other projects in other locations, I should be able to get the 3rd project or the 4th project.
Or,
also,
or we're discriminating against that township. I just want you to give me your legal argument that I can take back to our
people. I'll get your legal argument.
Because I personally think it's ridiculous, but we'll go from there.
I'll get you the legal argument.
Mr. Poulet.
I did want to clarify also that that is 2 projects per funding category. So you can actually get up to 6. It's 2 per funding category. Yes, did you
and
have
that, and is that per award session? So if you've been awarded 2, on the next session, you can also be awarded 2 more.
Oh, what I meant was you can have 2 projects.
I understand that.
Yes,
but also
funding your
but it's also per funding round.
Oh, yes.
There's plenty of cities that have much more than 3 funded, so it's only per selection period.
Yes, per selection period. Any other questions?
Maybe that could be.
Okay, this does not require an approval at this time. Once again, we'll take all these.
We've got another comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't see you.
That's okay. I just want to say thank you to AMS for the PDIP program. I thought it was a creative way to incentivize project delivery, to get more money to the region sooner, and to get resurfacing projects moved up quicker, which is what the member communities have been asking for. So thank you for doing that, and thank you for being innovative to try to find ways to meet the needs of our other members. That's all.
I have a question.
Yeah.
On the landslide and bridges, the points of 2015, it just seems like it's a high number of points. I don't know how you guys got there. I don't know how else to do this, but it does seem to be a lot of points for something that's new. How did you arrive at that?
Well, the bridge, we've always had a bridge closed, 20 points.
Right.
So all we did was change that. We just said that it doesn't have to be a bridge, just anything that closes a road, like bridge or road closed, you get 20 points. We just kind of expanded it beyond just simply a bridge closing a road. So if you have a landslide that closes a road, you can still get 20 points. And really, I can't think of any other reasons, but a culvert washes out or something. If a road is closed, you get 20 points.
Okay.
If your project, yeah, if they would have qualified, unfortunately, that section isn't functionally classified. Yeah, unfortunately.
Thanks, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion on this? Okay, let's move on to Resolution 2021-12R, Jeff, Attachment 6A.
Thank you, Mayor. Your packet is Resolution 2021-12R.
12 revised presents project recommendations for the enhanced mobility for the elderly and disabled program. This resolution was revised after the mail out to include additional funding awarded by ODOT. This program provides funding for the public transportation of the elderly and disabled, including transportation to and from jobs and employment support services. The program is now administered by ODOT. The ODOT Office of Transit received 6 applications for funding for our area. Metro RTA and PARTA applied along with 4 social service agencies. The MX area received $589,000 in federal funds for this program, with ODOT providing an additional $200,000 in federal funds so that all 6 agencies could receive funding. The funding goes towards the purchase of handicap accessible vehicles. Table 1 in the attached memo provides detailed listings of the projects awarded. Attached to this memo is Resolution 2021-12R. This resolution approves the amendment to fiscal year 2022 of the TIP as requested. The TAC and the staff are both recommending approval of this resolution. Are there any questions?
Any discussion? Any questions? Can I have a motion, please?
Motion to approve Brian Herschel, Suffolk County.
Second, please.
Lou Bertrand, Meyer.
All those in favor? Say
aye.
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 All those opposed? Say nay. There is proof. Other business, Curtis?
There is none.
Could we have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Thank you.